Welcome, everyone, to the June 9 Manatech Success Call. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. If you have questions during our call, you can send an email to ccqa@manatech.com. Some of the statements made during this call may be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Listeners are cautioned when considering these forward-looking statements as they speak only as of the date they were made. Actual results could materially differ from those expressed in forward-looking statements. Listeners are encouraged to obtain Manatech's recent filings filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission that contain additional information about the company and its forward-looking statements. Copies of these and other such filings may be obtained by contacting Manatech's Investor Relations Department at ir@manatech.com or calling 972-471-6512 or visiting the Securities and Exchange website at www.sec.gov. I would like to welcome your host for today's call, Manatech's General Manager of the U.S., Mr. Bob Adam. Bob, the call is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Terry, and welcome to all of you associates in North America and perhaps beyond that around the world to our very first Manatech Success Call. Let me just position this for you a little bit as we seek to provide you with resources to help you both in your business and really life applicable principles. And the purpose of this goal is, as the name implies, the Manatech Success Call, is to extract the and present to you the principles and practices of success that we see demonstrated in the lives of Manatech leaders. We all know this to be true, that success leaves clues. So our purpose on this call is to identify some of those clues and present those to you. The format of the call, these will be weekly calls starting today, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Central. These are open to all associates, not only in North America, but beyond. They will be three-point plan focus. So they'll incorporate those timeless principles that have been proven to be successful in this industry of a very purposeful structure, of personal growth, growing you, and developing leaders. And we'll have it interspersed with personal stories. These calls after today will be field-led. There will be field leaders who will host the calls and present the calls. It will have an international flavor. There will be speakers from around the world as we move forward. And you will be sent, you can listen live, of course, and you will be sent the link to this call tomorrow, we expect, and also it'll be posted on manatechlive.com. Get used to that site as being a headquarters for you to tap into resources. So that's manatechlive.com. So let's get right into it. We expect this to be roughly a 30-minute call, a little introduction and positioning by your host, as I have done today. And then we will have a speaker whom I will introduce in a moment, and then I'll come back just to wrap up. So it's my privilege to introduce as our very first speaker of this new Manatech series, Roy Thurisson. Let me just give you a little introduction to Roy. Roy is a pastor, teacher, actually a trained architect as well, and a leader whom, as I've gotten to know him, really thrives on helping people see the possibilities ahead of them. He's a silver presidential in Manatech. And he and his wife, Mary, have actually facilitated their Monday night leaders call for about the last 4 years, since 2012. And on that call, I've had the privilege of being there on occasion. They interview some corporate people and field leaders in order to strengthen that bond between corporate and the field, as well as share knowledge and wisdom and training for personal growth and business success. Roy and Mary are actually in their eighth year with Manatech, and their second year of serving on the council, the NAC, the North America Advisory Council. So Ray is going to be presenting to you a concept that's extremely important to success, whether it's in business or in life, and that's in our minds, our thinking, our belief. And he's going to share some insights onto making belief personal and actionable. So Roy, welcome to our call. Are you there with us?
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
I think we're good.
Okay.
So thank you for being with us, Roy, and I'm just going to turn it over to you for the next few moments and to share your thoughts on this extremely important topic.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob. I sure appreciate you. You know, when I think of the pillars of Manatech, I think of you as one of those pillars. You've been around the company for so long. You've been so caring and so supportive of so many of us out here in the trenches, you might say. And partially because you've been in the trenches yourself, so you have a really great way of relating to us and help and understanding all the dimensions that we encounter. So thank you so much, Bob, for what you do for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. What I want to share with you today is a little bit about leadership and some of the foundations of leadership. We have an opportunity in this world to make a difference. We have an opportunity to touch lives of people that we encounter every single day, our families, our spouses, our children, our neighbors, and even friends that we haven't even met yet. And sometimes when we talk about those influences that we have, John Maxwell calls leadership influence. And so those people who have influence in our lives, we consider those people to be leaders. And so how do those people get to that point of influence? And that's really the challenge is that we wrestle with on a day-to-day basis. How can I be the best leader that I'm designed by God to be, to use my gifts, to use my skills, to use my personality? How can I be the best that I can be? Jim Rohn says it this way in terms of characteristics. He says, the challenge of leadership is to be strong but not rude, to be kind but not weak, to be bold, but not a bully, to be thoughtful, but not lazy, to be humble, but not timid, to be proud, but not arrogant, and to have humor, but without folly. And it's amazing when you start to put all these characteristics together and how easy it is to slip off the side of those good characteristics into those not so good characteristics. And so the challenge for us is to stay focused, is to continue to focus on the specifics of leadership, to find ways to build and strengthen those characteristics. John Maxwell in his Leadership Bible talks about leadership this way. He says, good leadership is the best means for leaving a lasting legacy. We live in an age of tolerance where protecting feelings is more highly valued than proclaiming the truth. People look with suspicion upon anyone who desires to influence others to embrace their beliefs. I want to encourage you to buck that popular opinion. As Thomas Jefferson proclaimed, in matters of fashion, swim with the current. In matters of conscience, stand like a rock. He goes on to say, I want to challenge you to become a dedicated student of leadership. If you aren't already one, to focus on that. Becoming a good leader may not guarantee that you will be able to have a spiritual legacy left for you, but for future generations. But it certainly does provide you the greatest opportunity to do so. He says, the law of legacy states this, true success is measured in succession. A legacy that does not include people has no eternal value. That is why leadership is critical. Make it your aim to practice transformational leadership, where people's lives are changed from the inside out. That kind of leadership is based on character, conviction, and Christ-likeness. In other words, transformational leadership follows the pattern laid down in the Scripture. So he's got that perspective. And I've got a little scripture that's going to lead us into the theme of today, which is one of the pillars of leadership. What are those pillars that cause people to be strong leaders, to be leaders that people look up to? And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says this, when we talk about building teams, working with other people, he says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can pick him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, what we have here is we have people working together. We have people working side by side for a cause. And isn't that what we're about in this industry? We're about building relationships. We're about connecting with people, about working together and not doing this all by ourselves. It's a hard road to walk if we try to walk this road alone. But when we have people that we're working side by side with, all of a sudden, our work in this industry becomes so much more fulfilling and easy, for that matter. So a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I guess I want to share a cord of four strands to you in terms of one of the pillars of building good, strong leadership that impacts people in a positive way. And one of those pillars of leadership is belief. And there's four categories of belief that we're going to touch on this morning. One is the belief in the industry. And as reported in the Direct Selling Association website, we have stats that share a couple of really pertinent information pieces for us to pay attention to, something for us to really start to be aware of how valuable this industry is for us. So globally, direct selling represents $183 billion in sales in 2015, which is a 7.7% increase over the previous year. Now, in the U.S., we have a $36.12 billion retail sales in 2015, which is up 4.8% from 2014. Which is up from 2013, which is up from 2012, which is up from 2011, and so on. There are about 103 million distributors worldwide, growing at the rate of 7.7% in 2015. The U.S. had about 20.2 million people involved in direct selling in 2015, which represents a growth rate of about 11%. That's a lot of people worldwide and even in the U.S. involved in direct selling, and it keeps growing every single year. Now, you know, that should give us a sense of the value and the enormity of the direct selling industry. So, yet that doesn't really impact a lot of people. A lot of people still have not so great a perspective on our direct selling industry. And one of those people that was struggling with this industry in the very beginning is somebody I know very closely, and that's my beautiful wife, Mary, of 34 years. She was the national sales manager, international sales manager for a software hardware distribution company, and she has a lot of story to tell you right now. So I'm going to ask Mary, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Jerry,
thank you.
Would you share a little bit about your journey and where you came from and where you are now?
Sure. Well, briefly, I love the concept of network marketing. I loved the idea of residual income. I thought it was all great, but I struggled with what I observed from people over the years approaching me and feeling like they really weren't being very authentic. And most people that I talked with, they really weren't making a living. You know, it was more a hobby for them. And so what I did over the last 6-7 years is, while I'm still working as a sales manager in my job of 25 years, I started really observing people who were successful in this industry, because I really did want to believe, but I had a lot of doubts still. And I noticed that there were some skills that they had developed that were very similar to the skills that I had been using in my own industry. And they were the skills of communication and connecting with people, and that they really did have a plan, that they worked and developed their own skill level, and it wasn't just haphazard in the way that they went about approaching their business. And so I started to study this, and I noticed that, like we have our own 3-point plan, that there were some real fundamental skills that people were doing every day. They were doing the reading and the listening to the tapes. They would regularly call and meet with people and plan and work events, and this would develop gradually into an income, and then more of an income, and they just never stopped. This was the business, and that they were developing leaders in the process as well. And I love the whole idea that this industry, in my mind, is the best personal development industry, bar none. But it didn't just happen. They worked it. They really worked at their skills. And in my sales job over the years, right, I had to learn and work very purposefully. I would work with my clients by helping them find a solution. I would take time and ask them questions. I would listen to what their problems were, and we'd work through it together. And I made it about them, not about me. And I would follow up, and the business would come back to me, and I would follow up again. And I realized that the skills that I had been doing all these years were very similar to the skills that are in network marketing that people use who are very successful, and that, again, they didn't just do it, just pull it out of the clouds and just happen to be really good and start making a lot of money. but that there was a real purposeful plan. And that I thought about it over the years, that how can people expect to get a paycheck? How can I expect to get a paycheck if I'm not doing the skills like I do in my own business, have done in my own business over the years? I'm not going to get a paycheck. But when I did the regular contacting, the regular connecting, working through the solutions, listening, growing, and working with my people, my paycheck grew. And so I realized that the skills of becoming a really great connector and asking great questions and building trust through caring and following up were what it takes in this industry to help build the belief and really taking that action. And I'll tell you, as I started to do that, my belief grew tenfold. And I realized that when I did this, I started treating this business with respect and as a professional. And I believe that when we all do this, we can really believe that there are few places in the world where we can make a great income, we can help people, where we can really, really make a difference. And it starts with us. It starts with us really believing. And, you know, if you keep your thinking right, your belief will be right, and your business will be right. And so that's what I've learned through the years, and I have grown to love this industry, right.
So you went from skeptical to totally sold out in a way that you're not really treating it like a hobby, but you're really treating it like a business.
Yeah,
so,
you better believe it.
So all of a sudden now the belief in the industry has really taken root in you, and you've talked to me a lot about that over the years.
That's
and
correct.
So I just thought it's really good to see the journey that someone goes on from skeptic to sold out for the industry.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that, Mary. I appreciate that a lot.
You're welcome.
You know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about in terms of belief. The next cord in our the rope that we're weaving here is the belief in this company. Manatech is a 23-year-old company. It has a history. It has a history of being birthed in prayer, birthed on the knees of the founders of the company. I think of Ray Robbins. I think of Sam Castor. I think of all of the boards that we've had over the years. All the great chairmen and players in the board, the boards that we've had. I think of the various science officers and the various other presidents, vice presidents, and down the line. We have an amazing company. We have just a most amazing company. We're a major player in our industry. Basically, we've gone through. We have a great new leadership program. We have Al Bala on the helm right now. And as far as this whole industry, of the more than 10,000 direct selling companies worldwide, Manatech is in the top 100. And not only is it in the top 100 of direct selling companies, we are in an industry in which we live, which is the major product group in the direct selling industry. It's also got the highest growth rate, which is over $12 billion in the direct selling industry. So we are in really positioned well in terms of this company, who we are, how long we've been in business, and then the belief in our company needs to be strong. We need to work on ways to strengthen our belief in the company. So the first two cords, the belief in our industry, the belief in our company, get to know the leaders, get to know our history. There's great value in really getting a whole handle on who we are. The third cord in our belief structure that we really need to focus on, that really we need to build in ourselves, is the belief in our products. We have so much history in terms of our products. We have over 115 patents worldwide. We have a glyconutrient story that goes, just is amazing. That we have products for the inside of our body. We have products for the outside of our body. We have fat loss products. We have essential oils. And we're in the fastest growing sector in the direct selling industry. What an amazing position that we have for our products. Our products change people's lives. We support the structures and the functions of our body with the products that we have, real food technology solutions. It's just amazing. You know, we have the ability to impact other people's lives in terms of their health and nutrition. I think of Don Partridge when I think about people who have influenced me in terms of the products. You know, he said he made a lasting impression upon me when he said that we have the most amazing products on the face of this planet. Why would anyone in their right mind ever want to go anyplace else or invest their life into anything else? We have the most amazing products. And Dr. Nugent, who has an amazing, who also has had an amazing impact on me over the last 4 years, especially since he's been supporting our calls off and on very regularly. And he's a man who has something like a million advanced degrees, and he's left a thriving clinic to invest his life into a thing called Manatech. What an example for us to take seriously, two men who have had amazing influences on people in this world, who are sold out for our products, and we need to understand that. Our products are amazing. The fourth cord of belief that I want to emphasize here that we need to really build in ourselves is this cord of belief in ourself. You know, the most important area of belief really is the our personal growth, our personal belief, investing in ourself, which is part of the three-point plan, as you'll note. We want to know that I can do this. You know, we want to know that, is this worth it for me to invest my time in? You know, what about getting out of my comfort zone? Can I do that? And then being associated with other people who have a really strong belief in themselves and in the products and in the company and in this industry. The association is so powerful. And someone who actually has had his life changed significantly is someone that I am really closely related to. I watched this young man grow over the years. He's a millennial. He's 32 years old. He has he's the president and CEO of his company called Fit International. He's got a passion for helping people in their nutrition and in their life. And so this is a gentleman that I know very closely. His name is Andrew Thurison. He happens to be my son. So, Andrew, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I am. I've been so impressed upon, watching you grow over the years, especially as you've gone through the kind of the self-development process. You want to share a little bit about that self-development process, the belief in yourself, this process that you've gone through over the last number of years?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thank you for bringing me on.
Thank you, Andrew, for being here.
Yeah. So I see self-belief as a positive feeling of certainty. Now, I think it's important we ask ourselves, why is self-belief important? Okay. It really has to do with, our self-belief, it shapes our destiny. Our self-belief, it shapes our actions, and it is our actions that shape, that create our results. You know, some people, they think our results create our feelings. The problem here is that most people, they allow their circumstances to control them, rather than deliberately making a conscious choice. In my notes here, I have Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he."
Okay, so choice then becomes really rather important in terms of your belief system and your structure. So why is choice so important?
Oh, because our choices, they reveal our true motivation. It is our actions that show our true intent. I think it's important that we check ourselves. I mean, are we selfishly trying to use people to get what we want? Or do we actually care about others, helping people, become free and healthy, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally? There really are two different types of beliefs. Okay, so we have one, a limiting belief, or an empowering belief. I think for a lot of us, though, we go to this limiting belief. We ask ourselves questions, say to ourselves, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I do not have enough information. I need to know it all before I can take action. Or I can't be a good network marketer and be a good parent, et cetera. There are literally hundreds of these either-ors we can grab a hold of and make it a reality for ourselves. But here's the question. Is it truth? I think it is critical, important that we understand one main thing. Belief is not truth. Okay, belief is not truth. It's perspective. As we, like myself, as, I'm moving forward or we move forward in our Manatech business, I think it's important that we become aware of what we're feeding our brains, our subconscious mind. Because all beliefs, they are choices. So, in fact, everything in life is a choice. Henry Ford said that whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are right. No, I would say the exact same thing. Whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you are right.
Okay, so everything in life is a choice, and we have enormous power over our choices.
Oh, absolutely.
When we get right down to the bottom line. So how do we get rid of these limiting beliefs? If we have a couple of different types of beliefs that we encounter, limiting beliefs and empowering beliefs, clearly the empowering beliefs are the, those are the areas that we want to live in. But, you know, getting rid of limiting beliefs need to become part of what we do as well. So how do we get rid of limiting beliefs?
Really, it's two steps, and I'll just keep this short. First step is becoming aware, finding the beliefs that do not serve us. So, like, for instance, anytime you have a feeling that you don't like, you know, feeling like anger, jealousy, hate, or, for instance, you feel doubt creeping in your life, this is a huge red flag. What we should do is stop immediately and do some self-examination. So the first step is becoming aware. Step two is replacing that limiting belief with an empowering belief. You know, ask ourselves questions that help, you know, reinforce that empowering belief. For instance, instead of saying, why can't I approach people and talk with them? I hear this all the time, you know, why can't I approach people and talk with them? Well, what's wrong with this question? Well, it's a limiting question, right? Instead, maybe ask yourself a question, like a better question would be, what do I need to do to love approaching people? See a difference? On my desk here, I have framed Bible verse Mark 11:24, and it says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It's a powerful verse, and again, it all comes back to belief.
So it all comes back to belief, and we our goal is to really work on ourselves, to have a belief in ourselves, a belief that we can accomplish what we set out to do, that we start to develop really empowering beliefs and put to death the limiting beliefs, and realize that we have a lot of choice, a significant amount of choice that we can influence our lives with. So, then that brings us to the conclusion here, really, of our talk, is there's four categories of belief: belief in our industry, belief in the company, you know, tying that cord of belief of the company together with a belief in the industry, tying a third cord of belief in our products, tying a fourth cord of belief in ourselves. And so really, I really want to ask each of you on the call today, if you would just join with me and make a specific commitment to strengthen those four cords of belief that we just encountered, the belief in our industry, the belief in this company, the belief in this product, the belief in ourselves, and strengthen those four cords of belief into an amazing rope that keeps us tethered to our destiny. So can you do that? Let's stay tethered to our destiny, and we do that by strengthening our belief system. Let me just close with a thought from Zig Ziglar in terms of being specific and determined about what you're doing, not being general about it and being haphazard about it, but being specific. Zig Ziglar says this: you cannot make it as a wandering generality. Let me say that again. You cannot make it as a wandering generality. You must become a meaningful specific. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for allowing me to share a little of my thoughts about belief structures and leadership. And God bless you all, and keep focusing upward. Make a difference in the lives of the people around you. Make a difference to the horizontal relationships with the people you care about and the vertical relationship with the God who created you. So thank you so much, Bob. I'll give it back to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Roy and Mary and Andrew. This was a family perspective. We appreciate that. Very creative, very solid. So let me just underline a call to action here and give a specific suggestion. To be a student of leadership, you talked about that at the beginning, and of course one of those pillars is belief. I'm going to suggest that you write down those four pillars and rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. How solid is my belief in these four areas? Belief in the industry, belief in the company, belief in the products, and belief in myself. Now, any of those that are a 9 or 10, which we want them to be, is just quickly note, so why do I have it so high? What is my rock-solid foundation for belief in those areas? In the areas where it's not, the question is, how do I strengthen it? What will it take? And it's a choice. Do not abdicate that responsibility to someone else. If only the company would do this. If only this would happen. If only this ingredient was in a product. No, that's a cop-out. So what? Accept your responsibility. Make the choice. What do I need to do, as Andrew said, to get rid of the limiting beliefs? The principle of replacement is so profoundly strong. So rank yourself on a 1 to 10 on these areas. Where am I weak? What can I do to change it so that you have a rock-solid, four-stranded cord that cannot be broken or unraveled? So thank you again to the Thurston family for this wonderful presentation on our inaugural call here on the Manatech Success Calls. Thank you. And to each of you listening to this, whether it's live or whether it's through the link or whether it's by listening to it on manatechlive.com, all the best as we share this exciting journey together in the weeks and months ahead towards success. Thank you very much.
Thank you again for joining us today. Replay listening information will be available on manatechlive.com under the conference call tab. If you have questions or comments regarding today's call or its contents, you can email ccqa@manatech.com.